Good morning, everyone. We are going to sing All Who Are Thirsty, and it'll appear on the, there we go, on the screen. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to deep. Please stand as we sing together.
Good morning once again, and to each one of you who has come to worship here this morning. This is the first Sunday that we are beginning our service at this time, at 10 o'clock. And as you all probably already know, this will continue into the foreseeable future. So 10 o'clock it is. This is Pentecost Sunday. Now, Pente refers to the number 50, as you all know, and it is on Pentecost that we celebrate the time when 50 days after Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit descended on the stars of the show, the apostles, causing them to speak in tongues. This event signaled a major shift in the religious landscape and laid the foundation for what would become Christianity. So Pentecost is really the birthday of the church. You will find several references to this event or to the Holy Spirit, mentioning that in our, it'll be in our call to worship, And as you noted already in this first song that we sang, and we'll sing songs with that later. Welcome again to this relatively short time that we have together once a week. My hope is that something you hear in word or song will inspire you in some way, inspire you to pay more attention to the slight nudges, to visit someone, or give them a call this week. A slight nudge to do what you are able to do to shine some light and hope into someone's world. Let us worship together. I invite you to join with me in the call to worship. It is printed in your bulletin this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Come, fill the hearts of your faithful.
Come, Spirit of God, come, kindle in us the fire of your love.
Warm our hearts and free us to act with kindness and care for all humanity.
Pour out your Spirit on your people, God of love.
And we shall be revived.
Come, gracious Spirit, come, guide and teach us.
So that by your light we may walk in the way of Jesus.
Spirit of the living God, anoint your children afresh.
Fill our spirits with unquenchable hope, feed our hearts with unbounded love, and nourish our souls with your peace.
Reveal yourself within us, great Spirit of God, so that we may better see ourselves and more truly reflect your light and truth. Amen. Let's continue in prayer together. God, you call us today, just as you called the disciples on the day of Pentecost. You challenge and support us and reveal the brokenness of us and our communities, giving us the peace that our world needs. Transform us, O God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, even though we're not sure we're ready for what that means. We know we've gotten comfortable with our familiar habits and our routines, and we're afraid to give that up. Walk with us, O God, and give us the courage to follow the way that is lit by the fire of your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.
We are going to sing number 86, You Are Exalted, again from the Voices Together, a chorus. And we'll become quite familiar with these over time. So, and we actually have sung this before, but probably just without the music, the notes. Okay, so if you would stand, please, we will sing You Are Exalted.
You are exalted forever, exalted, 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 exal
Good singing. Okay, we will now turn to your blue hymn book, number 592, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 592.
Good morning and welcome here. This is our time of sharing as well as realizing or recognizing our opportunities. Opportunity for sharing too. So let's just take a brief look at the bulletin and see what opportunities there are. On the right-hand side at the bottom, you'll see that there's a couple of opportunities from MCC. The furniture store is looking for some help. Just below the Pray For box, you see that there has been and continues to be an opportunity for giving. Not for giving, but for giving. That is ongoing, and don't start to think, we've got it made here, we are reaching and exceeding our budget, or we are meeting our promises. That is, in fact, not the case. And I encourage you to keep pressing on because we are still behind. That's as much as I'll say. Jesus always said a lot more about money than pastors tend to these days. So beware, maybe I will start to preach sermons on money and on giving. We'll see. As the Spirit leads. You know, I can say that all day today. I can say it any day, of course, we all can, but especially today. And after this service, after you have gone out to the restaurant of your choice, you are invited to join us again. We're going to gather at Golden West Manor at 2 o'clock, and then at the Towers at 3 o'clock for our care home services. And this is our final opportunity before the summer break. So if you haven't been for a while, I'm sure the folks there would love to see you and to hear you singing or playing or reading or whatever it is you can bring. Our condolences to Fred and Margaret. I don't know if they wanted to say more about this or not, but you have the opportunity to speak with them personally and express your condolences on the loss of their granddaughter. If you would like to share something, you have the opportunity now. We'll pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your presence here with us, not only in this gathered space, but wherever we are, together with those who are at home, who are watching, who are listening, who sit in silence or loneliness. You are there. We thank you and we celebrate your presence with us here, and especially in the form of the Holy Spirit, as this is the day we celebrate the Spirit's coming to us. We pray that you would help us to recognize your companionship on this journey. No matter what we are going through, the events of our lives, we know that you walk with us. Open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the communication that you have with us, so that we would know how to respond, how to react, what to pay attention to in all of the events that come unexpectedly. Some of them are very exciting and happy, and we are thankful for a productive seeding season, thankful for the rain that we are expecting to come, and we do ask for it and more. Bless the work of our hands in so many ways. We pray that your blessing would come on this church, on Zion Mennonite Church, and the things that we endeavor to do together in your name. We ask for your special blessing on all of the offering that we have given. We pray that you would bless it and make it multiply. Give us generous hearts to give more and more in the joy and excitement of seeing what you are doing with the small that we are able and willing to give. Not all things are happy and exciting. Some give us anxiety, and we pray for Vic, especially this week, as he heads into the event of his surgery on Tuesday. Guard and guide his life. And we pray for a successful surgery there in Regina. We thank you for welcoming another participant here in Willow Creek. Thank you that Joy and Bart were able to travel safely to and fro. Help us to remember to reach out to all those who are not able to come to our space here, that we would bring your love and your joy to those that live in other spaces. Thank you for safe travels for Will and Rachel, and we ask that you would continue that. It's no light thing to pray for journey's mercies. Forgive us for becoming so nonchalant about the care that you show every day as we go out on the road. We pray for the other churches. We pray for Alpine Church of God, and we also pray for Carrot River Mennonite Church and their leaders. We pray for the camp and the leaders there, Camp Elam, and all of those children who are going to participate in coming to camp. Just as Ken mentioned, the celebration of the children at school, so too at camp. Joy comes at camp, and moments are shared there that cannot be replicated any time throughout our lives. We ask for your blessing on that ministry. We pray for the leaders of this church, as well as the leaders of other churches, and for our political leaders. We plead for peace between Ukraine and Russia. We pray for an end to that war. And we pray for all of those who are struggling to help the people who have been displaced, and for the voices who are trying to speak out against injustice. We thank you for the witness workers in the Philippines, and we pray that you would continue to guide them, help them to know how to continue to carry out their work in your name. Thank you for so many different ministries that we have here. We pray for your direction and give us a willing spirit to follow where you will lead. So we open ourselves and we pray just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It's now a time to sing, and we will turn to number 26 in your blue hymn books, Holy Spirit, Come with Power. Please stand if you can. Number 26.
Thank you.
I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you didn't carry it in today, there are Bibles at the end of the pews. Sometimes it's nice to hear and see the words, and other times I recognize it's nice to simply hear. The choice is yours. The text is John chapter 14, verse 8 to 17. And then 25 to 27. I'm reading from the NRSV. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Verse 25. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I entitled this brief message, Don't get over it, get on with it. Not because I think we are just trying to get over anything, but that's a phrase that we often say to each other when we don't really want to engage a subject or we've heard enough about it, and you just say, okay, just get over it and move on. That's not the attitude that I would like us to bring to the celebration of Pentecost. However, sometimes we do get hung up on that event, the time at which the Holy Spirit came, very visibly and audibly. And we try, perhaps, to replicate it, or we wish it would happen again, or we want to see those kinds of demonstrations. Or when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think, oh yeah, that's the time when there was this big rushing, mighty wind, much like we've seen in Swift Current in the last couple of weeks, or where there were the tongues of fire on each head of the apostles, or the speaking in tongues, all of this event, it was so momentous. That was the coming. But now I would like to encourage the church and all of us the past church, the historical church, the future church, Zion Mennonite Church. Let us now get on with it. That was the coming. Yes, it marked a moment. Yes, that was for our assurance and encouragement. Yes. Let's not then close our Bibles, leave this place, and just go on with our lives. Let us then, in light of that event, now continue living together with that promised Holy Spirit. What will that look like? What could that look like? And most of us here are thinking, well, it's been a while. I came to faith whenever that was for you, and I've been living with the Holy Spirit since then. And for some, it's been 70, 80, maybe even almost 90 years. You know, at Women in Mission, there was a lot of comparison of ages. Not unlike those birthday parties we used to go to in elementary school. I'm now 6. Oh yeah, I'm 7. Very proud of our ages. I'm 92. Oh really, I'm 92 in 2 months. We've lived our lives, and sometimes we become complacent, we become used to the way our lives go on. So I'd just like to encourage us today to get reacquainted with the living with the Holy Spirit. Reacquaint ourselves with the Holy Spirit according to the John passage. There's lots of different passages throughout the text, throughout the Bible, that I could have used. Today's lectionary suggested John 14, and it seemed like a good time to look at this, especially since this text is bookcased. Look at chapter 14, verse 1, and compare it to 14, verse 27 that I just finished reading. The two verses, they're bookends. They say the same thing. In Jesus' words, quotation, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." In times that we are living right now, and maybe in your own very life, is there not a short list of things that you are troubled about? For yourself, for your family, for the world, for the future, not knowing what's coming, what has happened. And here, in the middle of all of this, Jesus puts his arms around his apostles, really, and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. And in the midst of that, he says, why? We have the presence of the Holy Spirit that has been sent. So let's get reacquainted with that presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, if you would like a review, you can go back to Acts chapter 2, and many churches will be reading that event from Acts chapter 2, when things started happening. I would like you, if you can find Joel in your Bible, not Joel Reimer. I wished he was here, because, you know, I like to refer to Timothy's grandmother whenever I can. And it's a proud thing for any of us who have a Bible name to find the text in which your name is mentioned. And so to look at the book of Joel, which we do not very frequently, but on Pentecost Sunday, there it is. It's referred to in Acts 2. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit." There we have it, the promise and the event. Now, for those of you who have some time on your hands and you've managed to find Joel now in the Minor Prophets, you know, it's not easy to find. Read through the whole chapter, chapter 2, or the whole book. It's only 4 short chapters. But chapter 2 is just an amazing chapter, and it will inspire you. However, we're going to go into John chapter 14. Get on with it. Get reacquainted with the Spirit. How do we get reacquainted with a Spirit that we've been living with for how many years? Well, we remind ourselves. And how do we remind ourselves of things? We repeat, don't we? I was going to entitle this, "I Do Chew My Cabbage Twice." I had a cousin who once said, I know where it was, I don't know why he said this to me, but he said, "I don't chew my cabbage twice." Meaning he didn't want to repeat himself. But I am happy to repeat myself, and in fact, verse 8 to 15 of John chapter 14 focuses on oneness. Verses 15 to 17 focuses on being sent. And anyone guess what verse 25 to 27 focuses on? Repeating last week's sermon, loved. One, sent, and loved. Now you're thinking, well, we came here a fresh Sunday, a fresh week. I put on a fresh dress. I got my hair done freshly for this. Can't you preach us a fresh sermon? Yes, we will refresh last week's sermon. And these are Jesus' words. Jesus himself is focusing on the same three ideas because they are that important. You watch TV, I'm sure. Am I wrong? Anybody here? No, I don't want any show of hands. Some of you may not watch as much TV as others, but for those who do, we know that commercials repeat themselves, don't they? You watch one program and you will see the same commercial at least 3 times, if not more. So why not hear the same message again and again and again? Tell me, if someone can give me a good reason, I'll stop preaching right here and now. Oh, suddenly the wheels are spinning. Lloyd's not here, so too bad for him. I and my Father are one, and that is what Jesus focuses on. Philip the evangelist said, "I want to see the Father. Show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. We'll be happy." And Jesus continues to talk about the oneness with the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. And he says it in different ways, just as we read about it last Sunday. We are one, one and the same. And everything that I say comes from the Father. And if you don't want to believe it, that's fine. But look at the works that are done. And these are the works of the Father. That's what I am doing. This oneness. And as we saw last week, this oneness needs to be what we are examples of. We ourselves in Zion Mennonite Church, let's not just say, oh, the church universal. Too easy. The hardest thing is to be one with the people that you are nearest to, because they're the ones that are going to bug you. And if we want to be countercultural, we don't need to search far and wide for justice issues, for ways to help the environment. Those are good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are good and worthy causes. But there are some things that need to be taken care of first. Before we go searching for those things, we need to be taking care of business at home. You know, for 2 years during the pandemic, we didn't drive around that much. We didn't go to a lot of places. We were encouraged not to. And so I didn't do much with my car. So now I go to get an oil change, and lo and behold, the people at the oil change place say, "Here's the list of things that are wrong with your car." And they wrote them out nicely, thank goodness, because it would go in one ear and out the other. I don't understand. I brought the list to my mechanic. Don't worry, I wasn't just being scammed. I wasn't like, "Okay, fix it." No, I went to the mechanic that I trust, And they looked at these things and said, sure enough, this has been worn out. This thing is ripped. It needs to be replaced. This and this and this. Routine maintenance needs to be taken care of. In our spiritual lives, sometimes we become a little bit complacent. We think things are rolling along the way they always have. You start the car, it's always gone where you want it to go. And then there are points at which we need to stop and do a little bit of a deeper examination and see, where have I not paid close enough attention? And the Spirit would love to do some maintenance in our lives. One of the points of the maintenance is being one. It's so basic, it's so easy, it's so obvious, but we neglect to take care of it. And it's absolutely countercultural. So everywhere around us, the message again and again is independence. Be your own person. Go out on your own. Stand alone. Be strong. And Jesus' message and encouragement and example to us is to be one. The majority of the text for today focuses on being one. As I mentioned last week. But it is hard. And Jesus left. Jesus ascended to the Father. And he said, I'm going. I'm telling you this before I go, so you'll know when it happens. However, he said, I am going to send. Verse 15 to 17. And here we have the ideas about the Spirit. Who is being sent now to us? To enable our oneness. To give power to the church so that... So that, now I won't say it yet because that's a conclusion statement. I don't want to go there yet. Verse 15 to 17, Jesus tells us who is now being sent. And this sending is an advocate. There's been lots in the news lately about lawyers, court. I don't know if you're watching or if you did watch and you got the jury result and on, but we hear, don't we? Things that are brought to court, this Supreme Court, this judge, this federal court justice, and on. The language is something we're used to. Jesus uses the advocate language here. An advocate. And often we just take that as, ah, yes, good. An advocate, someone who is going to defend me. I knew I was right. Isn't that kind of how we think? We personalize the Holy Spirit and the advocacy of the Holy Spirit to say, yes, these other people, they're all wrong and I'm right. And the advocate is on my side. However, this advocate comes from the Father, and the Father and the Son are one, and this Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Not just what you want to hear, what I want to hear, what's comfortable to hear, but what is actually true. Another example of being totally countercultural. Having the Spirit of truth. Now beware, it's so easy then to sit in our pews or be gathered in our church and say, we have the truth. See how wrong that can go too? See how dangerous that can be? We know and we are always right and all of them. No, no, no. This advocate is an expert in the law. That's what an advocate is. An expert in the law of God. And this advocate will teach and remind and show us of the Father and of Jesus, not the world. The world doesn't know truth. In fact, the world cannot receive this advocate. The world cannot receive this advocate. The world cannot see this advocate. And the world does not know this advocate. This is countercultural. This spirit of truth, based on the oneness of Jesus and the Father, comes with the authority of the Father and abides in us. He abides with you, and he will be in you. Let's become reacquainted with that advocate, that spirit of truth from the Father. And this advocate and his work among us and in us and his abiding in us is based in what? In being right? No. In being powerful? No. Is based in love. Look at verse 31. Still chapter 14, verse 31. Jesus says, "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." So that the world will know that I love the Father. What a beautiful image. Not so that the world will really know who I am. Don't you know who I am? This is our culture. You need to make a name for yourself. Be someone. Let people know who you are. This is countercultural. And Jesus' desire is that the world will know that Jesus loves the Father. And the advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and now another name here, the Holy Spirit, will be sent. The Holy Spirit sent not on his own, not some weird new theology that's way out there. No, this Holy Spirit speaks the deep things of God. This Holy Spirit is to remind us. Because we need reminding, we forget, we become distracted, we hear the message of the world, and the Holy Spirit with us forever, Jesus said. This advocate with you forever will remind you and will teach you of my words. That Holy Spirit dwells with us, based not in rightness and in knowledge and power, based in love. Look at verse 15. I didn't read it before, but I'm reading it now. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father to give you another advocate. If you love me, look at verse 28. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going. And verse 31, as I just read, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Let's get reacquainted with this Holy Spirit, this advocate, this spirit of truth, speaking God's words to us, words that the world cannot see, cannot understand, cannot receive, but on the basis of love, so that the world will know that Jesus loves the Father, so that the world will see that we are one, sent to love.
Thank you, Lois. We will now turn to, in our blue hymn books, to 356, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And I would like us to sing, we haven't tried this for a while, but we will sing verse 2 a cappella. Please stand if you can.
Please bow for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you would please turn to the green book, Sing the Journey. We will now sing number 74, Now Go in Peace. And we'll just sing it through once. It has an amen ending, so that's kind of final. So, once through.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.